just saw a tweet retweeted by a guy named Phil Hecken, who is one of the like UniWatch guys. He's kind of a graphics guy. He just retweeted a tweet from a team called the Tucson Sugar Skulls, who are evidently an indoor football team.
Is that Pecos League?
They tweeted out their the field is set. They got their field laid down. Their logo looks the exact same as the Albuquerque Mariachis that Albuquerque rolled out last year for the Copa de la Diversión. This looks like the exact same. In fact, I'm going.
I mean, yeah, it's now. like MLB Cut 4 kind of ripped off a PDP logo.
Yeah,
for
they
their
did
reimagination of all 30 MLB club logos and nicknames. So
they basically took. Well, I can tell you right now, they used the exact same Google image that we used for the basis of the PDP logo. Like when you go to iTunes or Google or wherever, the logo that we have for the show itself, not the logo that's up on Purple Row, but the one that I designed back in 2014 that's up on our actual podcast page, they used the exact same Triceratops skull, I'm pretty sure.
Unbelievable.
So that's pretty hilarious. But I will say, it's a way better name and logo than Rockies. Triceratops, the Colorado Triceratops. Way cooler. So anyway, hey, welcome in. It's this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Rowan.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
I just had a very good session with my therapist today. Talked about bad relationships that I've been in, mostly you. And just talked about you for a long time.
Just me the whole time?
Yeah, it was great. It was really great.
What did you say about me?
I want you to know that you're just like a life-sucking, draining, horrible human being.
Okay.
Listening. I'm listening.
Yeah, go on. Like, sounds great so far. Go on.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, I just want you to know. I'm glad that I was able to get that out there a little bit today. That I hate you, and you make me miserable.
Yeah, all right, it's fair. Again, like, I get it.
Just kidding, buddy. Hey.
Yeah, right.
How are you? How's things?
It's been a little while, huh?
Yeah, you know. The Rockies haven't done anything. I mean,
they reported
to Scottsdale. I guess that's a thing. And people are all up in arms wanting us to record, which Anthony texted me a few weeks ago and said, like, don't you think it's weird that so many people seem to care about our thoughts on the Rockies? Like, every once in a while, just step outside myself and think about that. I was like, yeah, that really is actually very strange. It is strange that people take what we say seriously. We started this up as a little podcast that could. Yeah. We're almost at 4,000 Twitter followers now. How? What? How? How did that happen? But yeah, people seem to care what we think. So we got a lot of thoughts. Got a lot of thoughts coming your way today on this latest episode of the old PDP, which is episode number 156. And our last one was titled, So Daniel Murphy Happened.
Since then, that was the last thing to occur.
Yeah, and the Rockies have done not much else since then. I will say that I'm much more optimistic about the Rockies bringing Nolan Arenado to terms on an extension than I was at any time in the last, let's say, 6 months. I don't know. I'm getting a much better feeling about that lately.
Sure.
I think the Manny Machado contract seems to suggest good things to me. I just, had Manny Machado gone out and had this been the free agent market that everybody anticipated it would be back in, you know, 2015, had he landed a $400 million contract and Bryce Harper landed a $500 million contract or whatever, then I would be a lot more scared. But I think if I'm somebody like Nolan and I'm looking at the free agent market right now, I don't think I'm seeing myself as like, well, I'll ride this season out, head on into free agency next year, and it's going to be an easy-peasy process for me to lock down $300 million.
An easy $500 million.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think if I'm Nolan, I would rather have the certainty of, all right, this team wants me here, even if it's for $28 million a year, which I think the Rockies will ante up and give him, you know, a very,
I mean, they're paying him 26 this year.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. We've discussed this before. I am 1,000,000% always on the side of labor. Billionaire yeah. owners are vastly evil and terrible. And I think I speak for both of us that we generally believe that labor, even if it is baseball players or football players or whoever, athletes
or pregnant women.
Right.
Yeah.
Athletes should be getting the money that they deserve, or women in general who
sure.
Are paid 78 cents on the dollar of what men earn. People should be making the money that they deserve. Owners have enough money, and there are 30 owners and there are hundreds of players. So the fact that people for some reason want the owners to take over 50% of the money and spread the other 50% among hundreds of players has always been bizarre to me, but neither here nor there. So all that being said, I want Nolan to get his money. But if I am Nolan, I think I would rather have the certainty of, why don't we just lock down this extension? We'll figure out what is to be figured out about, you know, non-trade clauses or opt-outs or whatever it is. But I'd rather know going into 2020, I've got a guaranteed job and money, and I'm not riding toward the 1st of March with no idea what's going to happen.
Well, I think the biggest thing was when he had that interview that the Rockies have tweeted out, being like, yeah. Nolan has his thoughts on the contract issue. Yeah, now stop asking us. Basically, is what it said. But no, he said, you rarely ever see a star like this being so candid when it comes to yeah. contract talks and talks about money, because Nolan was like, you know what? The front office has been really great. It's been a very cordial conversation. I let my agent do all the talking about the business side, but just in a personal relationships that I've had with the front office and all those guys up there, it's been very complimentary on both sides. Everybody seems to be getting along, and you don't really frankly hear a star or need to hear a star say that. And finally, Nolan are now coming out and saying that everything's kind of going well. And he even said that even if the season starts and there's no contract in place, does not mean that it's going to be like a lock stock and he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
He said, which Chuck last year got the contract after the season had started. So, you know, he's saying all these things like, well, you know what? It's, you know, if it's not progressing the way that you want it to, fans, it's going to happen or not. But just to let you know, I'm putting in all the effort in order to make this happen at some point. And I thought that was very refreshing to hear from Nolan.
Yeah. The thing that suggests to me that they're getting closer is the fact, like you said, that he said opening day is not a deadline. Because last year I remember him saying, I don't want to talk about a contract during the season.
Right.
And I feel like if you were not making progress and relatively substantial progress, you wouldn't come out and say, I think we can work with this past opening day. And especially use Chuck as the example. Like, well, he signed one after the season started. I think if you were in the same situation where you were last year, there's no way that that happens.
I agree. Yeah.
So I feel good about that. Let's talk about Manny Machado. Manny Machado okay. signs a deal yesterday with the San Diego Padres. I have long felt like Randy Quaid in Independence Day trying to warn people that the Padres are coming. They've been studying us for years, finding out our weaknesses. to me, the Padres were always going to be scary in 2020. I really don't think Manny Machado makes them that much scarier in 2019. Like, I think the Padres are fine yeah. this season, and I think Manny Machado makes them better, but I think at best the Padres are still a 500 team.
They're like a bizarro world Colorado Rockies. Like,
right.
Like, they're
right.
all Rockies players with goatees. Like, because they, you know, they're going to have their ballpark suppress their offense. So their pitchers might look a little bit better if they're below league average, but their hitters will have a tougher time, you know, making it up to those average benchmarks around the league. Rockies hitters, of course, get buoyed by Coors Field, and then the pitchers have to struggle to maintain whatever comes about to a league average there. So they're kind of just in opposite ways there. This Padres pitching staff is still very, very not good. Like right. their offense has a chance to be very interesting this year.
Right.
Yeah, it could be good eventually. They have a lot of guys in the top 100
prospects. Seven of those are pitchers. So they're going to be good, but not a lot of those guys are in the upper minors right now either.
Right. They're not close. I mean, right now, their projected rotation for 2019 is Joey Lucchese, Eric Lauer, Robbie Erlin, Jacob Nix, and Brian Mitchell. That is not going to win you an NL West title.
Yeah.
No matter what ballpark you play in. I know they got Garrett Richards in the offseason, but he's not going to be able to pitch much of this year, if not all of this year. So they're not playing for a title in 2019. Their lineup, it could be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely not an Eric Hosmer fan.
Yeah.
Like he had a grossly similar season to Ian Desmond last year. If you look at the two guys side by side, it was not a great look.
Yeah.
Ian Kinsler at second base, like, okay.
I love Ian Kinsler, but he's old. You know,
Your outfield's Will Myers, who is, you don't know, Manny Margot, who had a really down year offensively last year. And then a combination of Hunter Renfroe and Franmil Reyes, who, Renfro has had a lot of opportunities. He had a good second half. So did Reyes. But like, I don't think they're seen as top prospects anymore. Franmil better than Hunter Renfro, but I don't know. And then, they like Austin Hedges for his defense. They got Francisco Mejia, who hasn't really done much in limited chances. Are they going to give him a chance? Who knows? So no, I don't know. Like I've said this on the podcast before. I don't think Manny Machado is as substantial a player as a lot of people do. Like I think he's a very nice player. I think he's an above average player, of course. Like his defense helps that. Offensively, he's fine. I know he's hit 30 home runs each of the last 4 years. Like he had an 820 career OPS playing in Baltimore for most of his career.
Coors.
Like that's it. Baltimore is one of the best hitters parks in the league.
Coors.
An 820 career OPS? Like really? You've been in the league for 6 years now, 7 years.
Coors.
Like, yeah, I mean, really, like he had the great first half last year and that brought up his numbers quite a bit. And then he went to LA and put up almost his exact career slash line with the Dodgers. His career slash line as of right now, 282, 335, 487, and 822 OPS.
Yeah.
With the Dodgers, he went 273, 338, 487 slugging percentage, and 825 OPS. Yep. Almost the exact same career numbers as he put up the rest of his career in LA when he had that 66 game cameo last year. Like, yeah. I think we kind of know who Manny Machado is.
Yeah.
He's a good player. His defense plays much better at third base than it does at shortstop. We've seen that for sure. I don't think he is a transformational player. I really don't. And I think going to a place like San Diego is not going to help that.
Where hitters go to die. San Diego is to offense what Coors Field is to pitchers.
That's like 21% better than the league average OPS plus. 121. Like, that's good. That's great. He's not Mike Trout, guys. Like, calm down.
Manny Machado is a very good player. I am excited about the prospect of seeing Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado matching up 18 times a year. That seems fun. But I don't think that this makes the Padres a contender. Does it make them better going forward in 2020? Yeah. I mean, I was listening to the MLB Pipeline podcast the other day, and they were talking about the Padres, some of their prospect depth, and somebody asked Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo, the host asked Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo, without looking right now, can you name who MLB.com's projected starting third baseman is for the Padres in 2019? And neither one of them could. I couldn't. I don't even remember who it was right now, to be honest. So it obviously makes the Padres better in a spot where they needed it, but it does not scare me that much. Same as, and this was my hot take on Twitter last night, which got already anxious Phillies fans even more anxious, and they were all up in the mentions furious. I think Bryce Harper, my feeling, and this is undoubtedly going to be proven wrong. I was actually positive I was going to wake up this morning to a whole bunch of push notifications that were like, breaking news, Bryce to the Phillies.
You'd be like, damn it.
I've got a weird feeling that Bryce Harper ends up with the Giants. Because the Giants have made so many weird moves like that in recent years. Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen, and they're committed, and I know this for a fact, that they're committed right now to doing everything they can to win at the major league level while they still have Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner under contract. They don't want to go through a rebuild.
Yeah.
Right. They don't want to go through a rebuild. They don't want to tear it down. They don't want to trade those guys away. They want to be able to go for it while they still have those guys there. And that, I think, is admirable. I think it's misguided, but I think it's admirable. To me, the Giants have money to burn. They've always had money to burn. There's something about that right now that feels like it's going to happen. The Giants kind of came into the situation late. I put out this point yesterday to a Phillies fan who freaked out on Twitter about it. Well, you're just speculating. Well, yeah, dude, that's what we do. We're sports fans. Of course we speculate. No, I'm not in on the contract negotiations between Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies. But my point was, if Bryce Harper was so sure about going to the Phillies, it's February at the time when we had this conversation. It's February 19th. Don't you think he'd be in Clearwater already? The Phillies came around swinging their club coming into this offseason. They had stupid money. They were going to sign everybody. They have signed nothing. And to me, that seems to speak of a bigger issue of what's going on in Philadelphia. But I just don't think Bryce Harper is sold on Philadelphia. And if he does, let's say, go to the Giants, I don't think that makes the Giants that much better. Like, I don't think Manny Machado puts the Padres into contention. I sure as hell don't think Bryce Harper puts the Giants into contention. So, like, even though I don't want to see Bryce Harper and Manny Machado for 9 games apiece at Coors Field this year, like, it doesn't really scare me that much. The Giants have nothing in the minor league system that's going to help them out. Right now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the entire Giants starting rotation is left-handed.
It is Bumgarner, Pomerantz, Holland, and then Samardzija and Derek Rodriguez.
Okay,
so those are two righties.
I messed
three
a couple
lefties.
Things up since I yeah. was watching Grant Brisby go on a Twitter rant about it. Yeah, I forgot about Derek Rodriguez. That kid's actually kind of fun.
He was pretty good last year. Yeah,
and but I just like the Giants don't really scare me. I'm not that worried about the Giants. I'm not that worried about the Padres. Now, come 2020, when, you know, they get Fernando Tatis Jr. after a year or a little bit less of major league experience under his belt and some of the pitchers start graduating, like, I think the Padres open up a pretty substantial window of contention. But I just don't think this year is it. The Dodgers make the deal to get Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig out of town, ostensibly to free up money for Bryce Harper. I haven't heard a word about the Dodgers in connection to Bryce Harper as of late.
Or with anybody. Because the Dodgers are trying to save money this year. You know?
Yeah, and that must be the case. Like, that's the only thing that I can think is the Dodgers have overshot their financial situation for a while. Are they finally at a point where they're like, all right, we need to tone this down? We haven't won.
I mean,
World
they
Series.
Signed Joe Kelly and A.J. Pollock. But yeah. that was a while ago, and they
wasn't huge money.
Been active at all since. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I just I think that the balance of power, I don't think has shifted necessarily in the National League West. I think there may have been a bit of a tilt, a bit of a leveling out, shall we say. The Rockies, I think, are still in fine position. And I think if the Rockies got into this season and locked down Nolan either before opening day or shortly after opening day, I think that bodes pretty well for where the Rockies are, because I think all of a sudden your clubhouse feels like, all right, let's go for this now. The rest of these teams are going to be in a very transitional stage. You know, the D-backs no longer have A.J. Pollock. They no longer have Paul Goldschmidt. They're a much different looking team.
I mean, they're not trying to win this year.
No. The Padres, I think, are still a year away. The Giants, if they don't sign Bryce Harper, are not a good team. And, you know, the Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers are still probably going to somehow end up winning 95 games. Like, that is the way of the world. But I just don't. I think the reactions of like, watch out for the Padres, I think they're a little overblown for this year. And maybe I'll be proven wrong. You know, maybe Tatis and Luis Urias come up and they just blow the doors off to get things started out of the year. I mean, Tatis isn't going to be there on opening day because baseball. But
I can't believe you would say that somebody on the internet would be outwardly outlandish about something.
Yeah, no, it's
putting their cart before the horse and blah, blah, blah.
No, that never happens on the internet. So I don't know. I think ordinarily I would be like, well, everybody else is making moves. Rockies are screwed now. I don't feel that way. I still think there are things that make me sad about this offseason. I wish the Rockies could have, you know, acquired some help at the catching position, especially. I wish they would have signed literally anyone who wasn't Daniel Murphy. But, you know, I'm going to miss Adam Ottavino. I honestly have debated muting Adam Ottavino on Instagram because it hurts me.
Just like seeing him in all of these, like these.
It hurts me seeing his Q&As where everybody's like, which Yankees uniform is your favorite? Shut up! I hate you.
You don't know him like we do.
You don't know him like we do. You'll never have the love that we had. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're going to be fine. Do you believe in Max Muncy again? Do you, Chris Taylor's a starting second baseman now. Is he going to bounce back? Like, you know, I don't love their outfield still. AJ Pollock is always hurt. You know, Bellinger had a huge sophomore slump last year. Jock Peterson is still the exact same person he was when he came in the league like 1,000 years ago. Kershaw's not the same guy anymore. Talk about guys are all left-handed. They're the same as the Giants. It's Kershaw, Ryu, Rich Hill. And then Maeda back in there. Bueller is obviously going to be good, but Bueller's the best pitcher in that rotation right now. Do you believe in everybody else? I don't know. And obviously it's not October yet, so Kershaw and Jansen won't be pitching well until then, but
True. Yeah,
and the Padres, I've mentioned the Padres. Like, we already talked about that. Like, I don't think they are quite ready to go yet. And I think their lineup is good. Their pitching staff is terrible. So
yeah,
that's half the battle. The Giants,
well, Petco Park, kind of evens a lot of that out, but not enough. Yeah,
not that much.
Yeah.
The Giants are not worth talking about, in my opinion. Their offense is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here. D-backs aren't trying to win this year. They're very much in transitional phase. And then the Rockies, who pretty much bring back the same team as last year. Now, you have to assume that some of these guys might have fallback seasons. Your Kyle Freeland, your Germán Márquez's. It would
Marquez
be Marquise.
Marquise.
It would be very impressive if Freeland and Marquez continued to build off those seasons instead of fell back to earth a little bit. Freeland more so has a chance to than Germán Márquez, just because he is more of a pitch to contact guy than Marquez is. Marquez has the swing and miss stuff. Freeland has incredible stuff, but it is more contact based, which can fluctuate a lot more from year to year. You really got to hope that John Gray comes back, and that's another topic altogether.
Yeah.
How much the Denver Post, specifically Patrick Saunders, hates John Gray, like a lot. John Gray.
Between that and I love Nick Groke. He's one of the nicest human beings on earth. But Nick's tweet yesterday was, I thought, extremely misleading, where he said Nolan's quote after the Machado trade was that he was thinking about what else was out there. And that was part of Nolan's quote. But the overarching, at least what I took away from Nolan's quote, the overarching thing was, yeah, we've had a lot of talks. It's been really productive. I've thought about what the literal next line he said was something like, I thought about what it would be like to be the greatest player in Rockies history, one of the greatest players in Rockies history. And so I was like, well, that seems framed a little strange. Now, granted, I mean, that's, if you're trying to get people to.
Are you saying story, it that's was fine. Clickbait? Come on. Twitter.
If you're trying to get people to read your story, that's fine. I get that. I'm not calling out Nick. I just thought it was an interesting way to frame it. But Saunders, yeah, just like backhandedly calling John Gray weak in every other story,
He literally asked him to his face. Like, people like me have said that you're mentally weak. Like,
Which,
well, what the hell's the matter with you?
You know, I mean, it's I give you credit if you're able to go up to somebody and admit, like, hey, I have said this about you. What's your response to that, in effect? What's your counter to that? I respect that, but, like, at the same time, I don't know. I mean, if you're a beat writer, you're not really supposed to be the one out there giving opinions. Like, you're supposed to be covering news. You're not a columnist. B, and this is a much larger story than just that piece or yesterday on Twitter or whatever, but Rocky's beat writers throughout history have so openly carried disdain for the team that they cover that it's just weird to me. Like,
yeah, especially at the Post. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. You know, like, not that there was some, like, halcyon days where Tracy Ringlesby was covering the team, but, like, when I was a kid, like, I don't remember Jack Etkin ever being that way. Jack Etkin still covers the team every once in a while, does some stuff for Baseball America and whatever. And, like, I don't know. It's very weird, which, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the Denver sports media on this podcast and how terrible it is. There is a sports station in town. I won't name it, but they did overnight coverage when the Broncos traded for Joe Flacco, and they are now hosting a live radio show coming up this week in which they are giving away Wacko for Flacco t-shirts, which is a thing that's happening. But I just, I don't know. You know, it's a little weird.
It's not great. Like, and Kizzle had another one about John Gray yesterday too, yeah, in the Denver Post. It's like, what, like, and I love that they're framing having, like, you know, issues mentally as a weakness, you know, as if, like, there's not enough stigma on mental health these days anyway. And also just kind of, like, brushing off the fact that John Gray lost, like, 30 pounds last year, just as, like, he was, you know, seemed weak at the end of last year because he's lost pounds. It's like, as if those pounds weren't just, like, muscle too. Like, you know, like, something was clearly wrong with John Gray last year, like, physically. And to just, like, brush that off, be like, oh, well, yeah, he lost 30 pounds last year, but he's still a mental midget. It's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's great, yeah, reporting, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. It's a weird, we live in the weirdest sports media market in the country. Like, it's the only one that I've ever heard that's really similar to this is Washington, D.C., where all they talk about is football.
Redskins, yeah.
Which, you know, I guess that's probably even weirder because that team's never even successful.
No.
So that's stranger. Like, the Broncos have won a Super Bowl in the last 6 years. They won 3 in franchise history. The Redskins haven't even been relevant for 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's weird. But, yeah, man, I don't know. It's a little strange. But all that being said, I am more optimistic on February 20th, 2019, the year of our Lord, about many things, even after the Manny Machado signing, and even if somehow Bryce Harper lands in the division, I'm still more optimistic about this team than I have felt at any point since late last season.
In terms of where this team's going to be this year, or
in,
like,
terms of, yeah, in terms of where they're positioned for 2019.
Okay.
We'll leave it there. Sure. I think a lot of it depends on if Nolan gets that extension, because then I think they're still positioned pretty well in 2020 and going forward, because then you've got an experienced Brendan Rodgers, hopefully a healthy and experienced David Dahl. You're 1 year closer to not having Ian Desmond on your team anymore. I don't think the catching position is ever going to be. I pretty much resigned myself as a Colorado Rockies fan since the age of 7, who has now watched 26, 27 years, whatever it is, of franchise history, I've resigned myself to the fact that the Rockies will never have a good catcher ever.
No, it's...
Who would you say is the greatest catcher in franchise history?
I mean, you go with Yorvit? I mean, like, just because...
Yeah. Like, it's probably... You can make an argument for him, Iannetta, maybe, like, in the beginning years of,
yeah,
his career.
I mean...
Joe Girardi, who was here for, like, 2 seasons... And
I mean, it's not J.D. Clauser, you know,
Charles Johnson. Like, I don't I'm resigned. I have given up hope that the Rockies will ever have a very good catcher, especially a very good homegrown catcher. I've given up hope in it. I was for so long optimistic about Tom Murphy, for so long optimistic about Dom Nunez. I just don't think, and I don't think it's necessarily a complete shot of the Rockies. I think developing catching talent is extraordinarily difficult. But you know, like, I even wonder, had the Rockies been able to go out and get Joey Bart in the draft last year, I feel like Joey Bart would just catch this Rockies catcheritis and he would end up being terrible.
If you're looking at like a Baseball Reference wins above replacement for Rockies catchers all time, Iannetta is nearly doubling up the next guy.
Oh my God.
Iannetta's been worth a 7.7 wins above replacement with the Rockies. Wow. The next on that list is Jeff Reed, 4.2. Then Miguel Olivo, the 1 year he was there in 2010.
Oh, wow.
Then Charles Johnson, 2.1, then Nick Hundley, 2.0, then Woline, then Mike McHenry, then Tony Wolters, Nafi Perez. Well, I guess he caught like one game. then Girardi, then Luke Roy, and Tori Alba.
Oh, boy. I'm actually surprised that Tori Alba is that far down.
I mean, Tori Alba was just there for the biggest moments of franchise history. He wasn't like a great player.
No, he was a very bad defensive catcher.
Yeah, he was a lot more just like good guy to have around. Like, in a fight.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
Once punched an umpire in the face in Venezuela, which is my favorite Yorva Tori Alba story. it's on YouTube. You can go find it. So I just, like, I don't see the Rockies going into 2020 or going into 2019 even as being that much worse position for the future. I think when you evaluate this season, there are teams that have gotten worse. I would say the Dodgers have gotten worse. The Diamondbacks have certainly gotten worse. Teams that have treaded water, the Rockies are probably in that conversation, and the Giants. And a team that has gotten better but was already a bad team in the Padres. So, like, I'm not that pessimistic. I think I would have felt more like I was going to be coming into this season down. But I don't really feel that way. I'm not really feeling that way.
Yeah, I mean, again, it is a you hope that, I know they signed Mark Reynolds to a, you know, minor league deal too. Like, I really, really hope that the young kids get a chance to actually play this year, and it's not just Mark Reynolds playing first base, pushing Daniel Murphy to second, and then Garrett Hampson sits on the bench.
There was a report out that Mark Reynolds was going to get a look at second base.
Guess who put that out?
Like, what?
Rocky Mountain Sports Writer of the Year.
To be fair, I didn't read the story. I don't know what context the quote came from, but like, how do you not get a little clarification on that? What do you know what it was?
Yeah, so what, like, it was on Sunday. Saunders put out a tweet saying, you know, Bud Black said that Mark Reynolds could get some looks at second base this year, and then like we were all like, what the hell?
Right.
You know, and then literally, I think it was the next day, he put out a retraction saying, like, oh, I guess I misinterpreted what Bud was saying. And Mark's not going to play second base this year. It's like, that's a pretty big thing to miss, bro.
I saw, I think it was Eric Garcia McKinley, friend of Purple Row / the podcast. Eric, somebody tweeted at Saunders and was like, how do you screw this up so badly? And Eric's response was like, it's not Patrick's fault if Bud gives a quote that is basically in effect wrong and then gets mad about it being put out that way. So I don't know what Bud's quote actually was, because I trust Eric, and I feel like if Eric read that quote and said that in a tweet, then it must have been something Bud Black said where he was like, oh, we're gonna look at everybody at second base, including Mark Reynolds or something. And maybe it was a joke that like didn't get taken correctly, but like how does that get put out? Even if that crosses your mind as like, okay, they're gonna look at Mark Reynolds at second base, wouldn't your next thought be, there is no fucking way that that's possible.
Your next thought would be like, hey, Bud, did you just say Mark Reynolds will play second base this year?
I know.
Oh, like, it would be such like a Rockies thing to just like plug some shitty veterans into these spots and not let the kids come and play. It'd be such a Bud Black thing. Such a Rockies thing.
Yeah. Like any other franchise,
which is why we all glopped onto
it. That's an incorrect report. But with the Rockies, it's like, well, they've been trotting Ian Desmond out there every day. So, you know.
Like, Garrett Hampson and Ryan McMahon have to take all of the at-bats at second base this year. I'm sorry. Like, every single one.
Or Brendan Rodgers.
Sure.
But those two dudes to start, especially. Yes. Yeah, I'm with you. Or Mark Reynolds.
Yeah. Let's just see. Let's see if Nolan can play second.
Just like you already have a second baseman.
No, they're just
on
gonna
the
like
right side of the infield.
They're just gonna sign Josh Harrison or something and play him at second base all year.
You know, if they were going to sign anybody, though, Josh Harrison. We've talked about Josh Harrison before on the show. I honestly would love if they brought Josh Harrison.
Josh Harrison is great.
A utility guy who's just going to annoy the shit out of everybody else in the NL West for the next 3 years. I'd be so down with it.
They don't need him. Yeah.
No, they don't at all. But he just like he comes. He's like a 900 career hitter at Coors Field. He's fun as hell.
That's why they signed Gerard Parra.
Yeah, poor Parra. Yeah. Well, not poor Parra. He's got money.
Yeah, but he's all right.
You know, he's gone, and we know he's not happy wearing a Giants uniform. There's no way.
He definitely misses us, the two of us.
Totally. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where were we?
Who knows anymore, dude?
I don't even know what we were going to talk about coming in. It was just like the Manny Machado news broke, and I texted you immediately. You want to record tomorrow? And you're like,
fine.
Yeah. And then I don't really know what we were going to talk about. There's some Ask PDPs that we could get into. Not many of them, though.
Yeah, we didn't really plan for this one at all.
Really only two. Nick at 303 to NYC says, my question is, does Machado go into the Hall of Fame as an Oriole or a Dodger? And then our good buddy at Fizzy Fish responded, follow up, how many times will Manny Machado try to sever Ian Kinsler's Achilles in spring training?
His own teammate, man, that'd be hardcore.
It's possible. Those two have bad blood. They seem like two dudes.
Yeah. How many bats get thrown at Nolan this year by Manny Machado?
Yeah.
Remember
when
Manny Machado just threw the bat at Josh Donaldson?
You know, like, I completely forgot about that. And I was having a conversation with my two best friends from college the other day, and one of them was telling us how he hates Manny Machado, and that's the reason why. And I had completely forgotten about that.
Like he was upset about something about a slide, and then just threw his bat down at Josh Donaldson, like, you know, on a strikeout.
On the back end of a strikeout. Yeah. So like he wasn't even looking, just let the bat go in the vague
and then
direction.
And walked away.
Base.
Like, yeah.
And whoever was catching that day got all up in his face, and that was when Donaldson was still with the A's, I think, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it was Lucroy actually, and then it turned into a whole brouhaha, a whole Donnybrook.
Yeah.
A whole schmageddon. That's not a real word.
No, it's – listen, like, you know, the Machado stuff about him, you know, on the field and the dumb stuff he did last year in the playoffs, like, I mean, it matters at some point, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's the other reason why I don't think, like
– like the I'm not Johnny Hustle stuff, like
– yeah. Like, I don't think Manny Machado – I think Manny Machado, like, his teammates like him. I think they're fine. But I don't think you bring him in and it's like, oh, man, he's a rising tide. You know, dude lifts everybody around him. They're a better team because of Manny Machado and his presence. Like, I don't really see that. So, I don't know.
I mean,
that don't scare me.
Did Manny Machado really make any team he was ever on that much better?
No.
Like, I mean,
the Orioles teams that made the playoffs were good, but I think even if you take Manny Machado off those teams, they probably still make the playoffs. Like, they were good enough. I don't think Machado was the difference between them being a 500 team and going to the playoffs.
Like, I feel like this is just something that happened last year too, when because it was relative to the market, everybody was convinced that Eric Hosmer was a transformational player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Eric Hosmer has had, like, one good year in his career. Like, he's been, like, okay otherwise, but, like, he's had, like, one great year. And then everyone's like,
Manny Machado,
Eric Hosmer is the jewel of the free agent market. Like,
right.
I mean, come on.
Manny Machado was definitely a much better player than Eric Hosmer.
Correct.
But, yeah, I just, they don't terrify me.
Oh, and we saw what Machado did with the Dodgers last year. Like, he really struggled, like, coming over the West Coast and playing in that ballpark.
You know what's funny is, like,
that's a
3 weeks ago.
Like,
yeah, and, like, 3 weeks ago, all the conversation was, oh, Manny Machado doesn't want to play on the West Coast.
It's like, okay.
And now he's
a
Padre.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I would have been more scared of the Padres had they gone out and traded for Corey Kluber. Because then I think, you got a bona fide Cy Young winning ace in that ballpark. Well, that makes you a scarier team. Yeah. And you've already got these dudes coming up. Like, even if third base is a little bit of a gaping hole for the Padres, like, you got Tatis, you've got Arias, you've got Mejia. I don't know. I would have been more frightened of that deal, I think, than them getting Machado.
I don't know. I watched the Indians, obviously. I saw Corey Kluber last year. I know he had a great overall season. Like, he was way more prone to losing his release point and stuff last year. And when that happened, he became eminently hittable. Like, he really lost a lot when Mickey Callaway left. He and Callaway had a great relationship. When Callaway went to go manage the Mets, he lost that ability to, you know, get it back that quickly. You know, we saw that in the playoffs, especially. You know, I was pushing for them to trade Corey Kluber this year just because they could still get a lot for him. He was still third in the Cy Young voting last year and still got something back, because the Indians are trying to do nothing this year. They are bad. Like, and they'll still sleepwalk to the AL Central title because AL Central is garbage. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It would have been better for the Padres to get Corey Kluber, obviously. They could have gotten Francisco Mejia back, you know?
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been weird? The Padres or the Cleveland just like used all these deals and maneuvered themselves just to reacquire Francisco Mejia.
I mean, they got Carlos Santana back after a year.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
Where the NL West stands right now, like, I think the Rockies have either tread water or gotten better. Like, so.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams haven't done that. I think they're going to be just fine, personally. Like,
I think the title of this week's episode is going to be The Cautiously Optimistic Hour.
Yeah.
with Anthony and Tyler. Because I feel like, that's sort of where I am.
Yeah.
I think they've treaded water from being a team that lost the division by a game.
Well, and I think the big thing, too, is, like, you know, you still have the one big free agent out there in Bryce Harper. And he would be a phenomenal fit in Colorado. God.
I wish they would just throw, like, $50 million at Bryce Harper for a one-year deal.
Right.
just, go for it this year. Pay as much money as it would land, as it would take to land Bryce Harper for a single year.
For one season, and just like, and then sign Nolan and just, like, go for it for 1 year.
Could you imagine that? Just, like, ask Nolan, like, all right, can we give you, like, $15 million this year, and then we'll pay you a ton for the next, like 6 years of this deal?
Yeah, let's have the deal be backloaded. Yeah.
Oh, God, that would be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, like, you know, I know you said, like, the Giants for Bryce Harper. Like, it's a weird, I don't know, man. Like, I don't.
It's weird enough to make sense, you know?
Well, like, I don't know what he really wants. Does he want to get paid? Does he want to get stats? Does he want to win? I don't know. Like,
My thought on it.
Or does he hate the Nationals? Like, if he hates the Nats, go to the Phillies.
Then go to the Phillies. Yeah, but again, like, why would you not have signed by now? And maybe it is just that he was waiting on Manny Machado.
I think one was waiting on the other. I don't know.
Like, why wouldn't Manny Machado just, you know, wait on Bryce Harper? But whatever. By the way, one of the underrated dumbest people on Twitter is Aubrey Huff. Remember Aubrey Huff?
Oh, yeah. No, he's
Aubrey Huff.
Huge MAGA dude, right?
Yeah. And he just tweeted a minute ago, congrats to Manny, my first 7 seasons versus Machado. Who are you signing? Average tied, 282. Home runs, Machado 175 to 152. RBIs, me 545 to 513. On base percentage, me 340 to 335. Slugging percentage, Machado 487 to 468. Identical stats. Wish I was 10 years younger. Thought this would be a fun comparison for the MLB fans. And then Craig Calcaterra quote tweeted it and said, now do defense.
Good Lord.
Aubrey Huff, big dumb idiot.
Super smart guy. Yeah.
Yeah. The other Rockies news of late is that they're putting Ian Desmond in center field.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Which is really something. What that does to me, two good things and one very bad thing.
It gives me an ulcer, is what it does.
Two good things, one very bad thing that probably negates the good things. The two good things. Charlie Blackmon gets to go to a corner spot where he eventually is going to be a middle of the lineup hitter. Nick Groke tweeted out a little bit ago, you know, Blackman could hit the middle of the order. Rockies right now need him to hit leadoff, which I don't think they do. I think they will eventually. I'm not even eventually. I think if you started this season, Garrett Hampson is a guy who gets on base. I think he could probably be your leadoff guy.
Yeah.
They probably don't want to put him in that position with his first full major league season coming up. But I think he's a better prototypical leadoff hitter than Charlie Blackman is right now. Blackman eventually is going to slot into a middle of the order spot, and that's where Blackman is best suited. Blackman is not an elite defensive outfielder. He was above average for maybe two seasons. He has been a well below average outfielder statistically the last couple of years. Blackman has needed to move to a corner for a while. We've said that for a while. They finally listened to us because obviously that's where the Rockies get all their information.
Yeah. Just us.
David Dahl gets to go to left field. Blackman's going to take right. David Dahl's going to take left. The thing I like about that is, we've seen David Dahl over the course of his career suffer these bizarre injuries, the ruptured spleen, a stress reaction in his rib, a torn hamstring. It's never like, I was talking about this on Altitude yesterday with Nate Kregman. It's never like the oblique, the old oblique is giving him trouble. It's a quad strain.
He'd have like six ribs removed. Issue. Yeah.
Yeah. It's never anything that's like normal. It's always like this weird overextension kind of stuff with David Dahl. Like he was running out of ground ball too hard and ripped his hamstring off the bone. He was charging after a bloop to shallow center and crashed into a teammate and ruptured his spleen by having a friggin' bone slice into it or something. The stress reaction in the rib was because of like all the offseason hitting stuff that he had done, I think. So it's just like, to me, if you put David Dahl in a corner and he's not asked to play the most defensively demanding outfield position in baseball, that's probably a good thing, ultimately. Hopefully it saves him a little bit and keeps him a little healthier. But all that being said,
that is not a good outfield.
Yeah. Ian Desmond in center field. Yeah, Ian Desmond.
Hey, he was an all-star as a center fielder.
He's a very good athlete. Yeah, he was an all-star as an outfielder. He's a terrific athlete. You know, I guess at this stage, like, what else are you going to do with him?
You know, like, I mean, you're still paying him.
I don't know, man.
$15 million this year.
He, in 2016 with the Texas Rangers, he played 156 games in the outfield, and over the course of those games, he, as Anthony noted, was an all-star. He batted .285, .335, .446, but you're also now putting an ancient...
I would love if you put up those numbers. Good Lord.
Yeah. You're putting an ancient 33-year-old outfielder who was 3 months younger than me into center field. And like we talk about, like, Charlie Blackman, he's not getting any younger. Charlie Blackman's a weird guy to give an extension to. Charlie Blackman's a strange. Charlie Blackman is younger than Ian Desmond.
Yeah. Well, and you hope that Chuck is healthy this year. I mean, Chuck had a nagging injury last year, suffered very early in the season that kind of sapped his power and made him struggle with his defense on the base paths, but he gutted it out for the whole season. And whether that was smart or not, it seemed like it was all right. But like if he's healthy this year, different story. And pushing him to the corner was always going to be the plan. He is very much on board with it, which is very good.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
That's been really cool.
Yeah. Because there's not a lot of ego there to say like, no, but I'm a center fielder and center field's my job. It's like, no, I'll go to right field, whatever. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good thing. The thing that worries me a bit, aside from the fact that it's Ian Desmond, who you're going to continue having to put into the lineup every day, the Rockies don't really have anybody coming up who's like the center fielder of the future. I thought that was David Dahl forever. And if it's not Raimel Tapia, they don't really have anybody. They have Jonathan Daza, who was terrific in Double A last year but was hurt for part of the year. I don't know. Does that mean that we're stuck with Ian Desmond for the next 4 years in center field? Like that?
Is it that
worries
long?
Me a little bit. Doesn't he still have 4 years left? Wasn't it a 6-year deal?
That was not.
Last year was only his second year.
He signed through 2021, so three more years.
Three more years.
Thank God.
One other thing that I have long thought, but have never brought up, but I am ready today to bring this to you, the people. And it pains me to say this, but is Chuck Nasty a self-ordained nickname. Like, remember when Kobe Bryant said he wanted everybody to call him Black Mamba?
Or like when Lance Berkman said he wanted to call him Big Puma or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, no, dude, you're Fat Elvis, shut up.
Yeah.
I have never heard a story out as to where the nickname, and it's possible, like, maybe it at Georgia Tech everybody called him Chuck Nasty, but like the story that I've heard about his Twitter handle is just like, oh yeah, I wanted it to be Chuck Nasty with a Z. Like, did he give himself that name?
I mean, like, I gave myself the Master Tones handle, and like, I don't know, like,
but
I mean,
people call you Tones,
right? Like, people called me Tones.
That's a difference.
And that's a nickname. I get that, but like,
yeah, but like, if you just call yourself Chuck Nasty. Like, it's, I don't know.
It's like you're a 32-year-old man with a child. Like,
I can't handle it. I like Charlie Blackman, but I have thought that for a while. And I think maybe that was the start of my, like, all right, let's settle down with the Charlie Blackman love. I think he gave him this nickname himself. I need to know that. I need somebody to find that out. Maybe this year I'll go up to him and ask.
Yeah, might as well.
Hey, man.
Like, hey, Chuck.
Did you give yourself that nickname?
He'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, screw you then. I hate you.
Dude, you can't just go out giving yourself nicknames. From now on, I want you to call me Jerry the Great. I think that is a conversation that we need to be having as a people.
About giving ourselves nicknames?
Did Charlie Blackman give himself a nickname?
But no, like,
and is that okay?
You look at that offense, that outfield this year. That's gonna be tough defensively. I mean, do you think Ian Desmond can handle center field at Coors Field, which is one of the toughest center fields to play? Like I know Texas has a lot of, you know, it's a big outfield with a lot of corners and, you know, angles and stuff. But like, Coors Field's a different beast playing in center.
Yeah. It's gigantic, and I don't know if people know this about Coors Field, but it's located a mile above sea level where there's less oxygen in the air than at sea level. So it's more difficult for athletes to recover.
I've never heard this before. Go on.
Because there is less oxygen, it gets into your bloodstream and to your muscles, presumably, slower. This is all very scientific.
I mean, you're lucky I don't believe in oxygen, so I don't. This is just
I don't
bunk.
Believe yeah. in gravity. It's just a theory to me. Yeah. It's all bunk. Can something be bunk? I know it can be debunked. That's my understanding about the way oxygen and injuries work.
Cool. Yeah, makes sense. It all adds up.
It all adds up. It's airtight, this theory. Just like giving yourself a nickname. It's airtight. Yeah, I don't.
You gotta hope that maybe Raimel Tapia can come out this spring and win a job and stay online as a fourth outfielder, and then, you know, maybe start getting more at bats.
Right?
Oh, and also, like, David Dahl did not look great in left field at times last year. Like, he had some weird misplays in the outfield that, like, you weren't sure what was going on there. I mean, obviously, Tapia has to do it this year. Like, he doesn't have a choice, and the Rockies don't have a choice. If he does not make the team out of spring training, they have to put him to waivers, and somebody will definitely claim him. Yeah. So, you got to give him a chance, man. But that's the thing. It's not the Rockies' MO to give these young kids a chance ever. Yeah. Like, which is so stupid.
Really frustrating. Really, really frustrating.
Because what's the point of having such a good minor league system like the Rockies have had over the last couple of years? Now it is not as good as it used to be, but still decent. Like, what's the point of even having minor leaguers then?
And especially, like, when you've graduated dudes and they've done exceedingly well.
Yeah.
Like, you developed
Trevor
Story,
Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman.
You developed Trevor Story. You developed David Dahl. All Cyan these guys, Garrett Hampson, all these guys have come up and done really well. When you've given them an opportunity, like, why not just give them more of an opportunity? I don't know. I'll be interested to see if maybe at the start of a season they're a little bit more comfortable doing it than, like, as you get deeper into a year. Because I get, to a certain extent, like, well, we're leading the division. Don't want to mess with it right now. But, like, maybe at the start of the year you'll think, like, let's try Ryan McMahon. He's very good. He had walk-off home runs down the stretch. Like, he's a super talented player. But I don't know. They also went out and signed a second baseman to play first base. So,
well, they also signed a center fielder to play first base, and then putting him back in center field now. So,
yeah, true. Yeah. You know what's weird about the free agent market is there are guys on the free agent market who play first base.
I've never heard of that.
The Rockies front office has looked into that before, but you can actually sign guys. It's a fun function of the free agent market. You can actually sign guys for a position who play that position.
I've never heard that before.
Look it up.
Sounds fake.
You can Google it.
Sounds fake.
Interesting stuff.
Did you see this about Ian Desmond, by the way? There was he had a picture of him in some article on MLB.com or something, and the picture was him from spring training this year wearing a Rockies pullover with the World Series 2007 patch on it.
Yeah.
And they asked him about it, and he said, "I found it at Goodwill." Said Desmond, who had the often shops at the thrift store for a little of everything. "It was my favorite style. Plus, it's a good reminder. That's what I'm going for." Ian Desmond's made $61 million in his career.
That's what I was just going to do, is look up his career earnings. What is he shopping at Goodwill for?
By the time his career is done, by the time his contract is done, he will have made $100 million in his career.
And, you know, like, maybe he just likes – sometimes a Goodwill run is fun. Maybe he just likes it. But it's a little strange. I also am a little jealous because I love those Majestic pullovers.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty nice pullover that you found at Goodwill with a Rocky.
Yeah, I got one from the first season they came out, which I think was 05, I want to say. And love them, but I never got one with the World Series patch on it. I would have loved to have just run across that at Goodwill.
What if, like, you and Ian Desmond both reached for it at the same time? And you're like, "Hey, you're Ian Desmond." And he's like, "Yeah, what's up?" And you're like, "Why are you here, bro?" He's like, "Just getting some stuff." And you're like, "Cool. Can I have that?" And he's like, "Nah, man. I called dibs. What do you say?"
I'll say, "Why don't you OPS 800 sometime and we'll talk."
But he'll look at you with his handsome face.
And he'll say, "I'm literally in the major leagues and you're an out-of-shape 33-year-old who played club baseball 11 years ago and have been working in sports for over a decade with 100 different jobs because working in sports doesn't pay money. I am successful and you are Tyler Mahn."
And you are trash.
I will be taking this pullover.
And I hate
And
you.
I would be like, "Man, too real, Ian Desmond. And how do you know all of that about me?"
It's like, "I know everything about all my fans."
I will say, and I don't tire of telling this story because for some reason last year especially it started getting conflated of, like, if you don't like what Ian Desmond does on the field, then you're shitting on Ian Desmond as a person.
You can't think of him as a good person and a bad baseball player at the same time. Well, both could be true. Yeah.
2 years ago, we did for Sports Buddies, for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Colorado, we did a Rockies Day. They do a Rockies baseball camp day every year, and Ian Desmond and Scott Oberg were the two players that came, and Ian Desmond could not have been cooler or more engaging or more supportive or more encouraging of the kids. My little brother, little guy who is I think 10 now, so he would have been 8 at the time, and I remember Desmond was hitting fly balls to the kids, and every time my little brother went up to the front of the line, he would say something about how my little brother was always smiling. And when the drill was over, he, you know, kind of tousled the kid's hair, whatever you call that, and said, "I love how you're always smiling. Baseball should be fun. Keep a smile on your face when you're playing this game," or something like that.
Right.
Which I just thought was the coolest thing you could possibly say to a kid. Ian Desmond is a Hall of Fame dude. And I went into the clubhouse a few weeks after that and said thank you to him for it. And he, I think, was actually pretty uncomfortable with being thanked, was just like really wanted to pass it off. I was like, "Yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem." And I think he's just a very genuinely good human being. We were talking the other day. Anthony was posting on Twitter about how Ian Desmond, by all accounts, is like the greatest teammate. He's one of the best dudes you can have in the clubhouse. I think we all need to keep in mind that Ian Desmond's a very good human being, and we've never tried to say otherwise about that. Like, he's a good dude. And frankly, I think the 2007 World Series pullover thing is kind of cool.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The fact that he shops at Goodwill for some reason is sort of humanizing and endearing about a professional athlete. And like we said last year, I want Ian Desmond to be successful. Like, I want Ian Desmond to come back and be the dude that he was a few years ago for the Rangers. I would love that. But I don't
really it is possible for two things to be true about the same thing at the same
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah, despite the world that we currently live in, it's possible for conflicting truths to exist about the same thing.
Correct.
But we also went into last offseason saying, I remember my exact quote was, Ian Desmond doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to have a season as disappointing as 2017 and not change anything
going
into 2018.
Did he prove
exactly
you wrong?
That's exactly what he did. Although, to be fair, Ian Desmond did OPS 28 points higher in 2018 than he did in 2017. And that was while his batting average dropped
40 points.
And his on-base percentage was down 20. But for some reason, his slugging percentage jumped 50. And, you know, that's what happens when you hit 22 home runs and driving 88 RBIs. And being somebody who only goes by old school stats and the eye test, that means you're a good baseball player.
Woohoo!
I've been told. Yeah.
He jumped up closer to that league average in OPS plus, too, from 72 to 83.
Woo!
How about that?
MVP. MVP. So, I guess there's like a couple things, just like quick notes. The interesting news that came out from Ken Rosenthal a couple of weeks ago, that baseball was exploring cutting down the amount of mound visits in a game, universal designated hitter, a lengthened disabled list, which I remember a few years ago when they went from the 15-day to the 10-day DL, everybody was like, oh, that's needed to happen forever.
Right.
And now they want to go back to a 15-day DL, which I don't get. A shrunk roster in September and an expanded roster for the rest of the regular season. A whole ton, like a sea change of tweaks to Major League Baseball, and a story that was rolled out in February, and they were like, yeah, this could happen for 2019. What?
Yeah, and clearly it was not, because it was like 3 days later, they were like, yeah, there's no chance of it happening
There's no chance this is happening for this year.
Like the next CBA, maybe, but like not at all now.
So strange. I don't know. This has always been my thought on the DH. The designated hitter will never go away. We will never live in a world. In an ideal world, I wish the DH was abolished across the baseball landscape everywhere. I wish pitchers had to hit from the littlest, tiniest levels of T-ball all the way through the major leagues across the globe. Here and in the Asian leagues and in Latin America and everywhere else, I wish that there was no DH. But we don't live in a world where that exists.
Right.
And because there is money tied into the designated hitter position, it will never go away. So there is never going to be a day where the American League goes back to a non-DH format, because that eliminates 15 well-paid jobs.
Which is why the MLBPA wants to push for it for universal. I mean, that makes
and
sense.
That's the reason. Yeah. Because the MLBPA is out there advocating, as it should be, as a union, advocating for its employees to continue their employment and make more money. And the only way that the MLBPA will ever change is if it's expanded from 15 to 30. The MLBPA is never going to go, okay, yeah, let's all go back to the National League way of playing. I think the National League way of baseball is the way baseball should be. It's the way Jesus intended it to be played when he wrote up the rules of the game at Galilee. And that might not be the actual origin of
it. Who knows?
It's conflicting. There's conflicting stories. But it's just never going to happen, so I'm okay. Like, I'll accept a DH. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to miss watching dudes crank home runs who have no business doing so, but it's fine. It's whatever. I will say I'll miss the pitchers that are actually kind of fun to watch hit, even if they don't, like, hit for power. Whatever. Like, Kyle Freeland, I remember tweeting last year, Kyle Freeland's just, like, a fun athlete to watch.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle Freeland can just, like, lace a single and round first base, and you're like, you could easily convince me that dude's a short.
Well, even though, like, he was a really bad hitter last year.
Yeah, he's
like,
a terrible
which
hitter,
was
but he looks
surprising.
Good doing it, you know?
Exactly. He looks good.
He looks the part.
Being a bad hitter, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll miss a little bit of that, but I'm fine. You know, it's whatever. It's fine. It's going to be fine. It's more dingers, and I'm good with more dingers.
Dingers are great.
Dingers are always good, especially the Masters.
Let's hit a lot of dingers this year.
Lots of dingers. Are you going to Arizona? We had this conversation.
It's going to depend. I have got the Big East tournament, which is a week later this year in Madison Square Garden for Fox.
I'll be Tig East Burnament.
No, get out of here. So that is a week later, so that kind of sucks. And then I'm going out the weekend before to New York for a buddy's bachelor party. We're going to Vermont.
Okay.
And I'm just staying out there. So it'll have to be like a spur of the moment. Like I have a couple of days off in a row thing and I'll drive out there with or without my dog. Yeah.
Look at you. All right. Well, I didn't want to see you anyway. So there.
When are you going to be out there then, Tyler?
I will be there the 18th to the 22nd. I'm actually getting there on the 16th, but I'm going to take the 17th off and I don't want to see or talk to any of you. So the 18th will be the day when I'm actually there.
Fair enough.
Doing work and things. The problem is I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I got a universal credential again this year. The last couple of years, Major League Baseball has moved the deadline around for applying for universal credentials, and we've missed it at MILB. So we've had to just like apply for day-by-day credentials, which is kind of a pain.
How do you guys miss that, just out of curiosity?
Well, there's sometimes the information is not super well communicated between the big league side and the minor league side. Sometimes things get lost in translation.
That's I feel like that shouldn't happen, but
it's kind of strange. But so it's tough because like you'll want to do a story and say you don't get to grab a player at a certain camp. If you have the universal credential, you can be like, all right, well, I'll audible. I'll go from, you know, Reds camp. I'll go to Padres camp and I'll try to get somebody there. But with the non-universal credentials, you can't do that. Like you can't just call the Padres and be like, hey, can you give me a credential for 20 minutes from now? But with the universal one, you can. The problem with that is, you and I are very similar in that, like, I'm just an addict to what I do. And so now I'll just be like, well, I've got the universal credential. Why don't I just hit four camps a day? And I'll just run myself into the ground and it'll be so much fun. But I'll get back at the end of that week and just like want to sleep for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot. But I'll be there. So all of that was leading up to the fact that I don't know when I'll be anywhere. But if you're going to be in Arizona, let me know. And hopefully we'll run into each other. I don't know if that'll be the case, but it would be great. Not you.
No, not me, obviously. I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Not you. But, yeah. So, yeah, you know, there's that. And that is all.
Cool. Cool, whatever.
I guess we'll stop it now. We'll wrap this up. Yeah, you can get into. By the way, this is a big news item that I feel like we should make sure to cover. We may have talked about this already. Even though Humble Monster has ceased operations, the makers of Purple Dinosaur Podcast t-shirts, the Purple Dinosaur Podcast t-shirts themselves will live on. Tyler Merkel and Kirsten, his fantastic wife, will continue doing PDP stuff for us, which I actually just assumed, like, oh man, where are we gonna get
that? Yeah, right.
And then Tyler reached out to me and you and was like, by the way, I'm still gonna do PDP stuff, and I'm actually really excited because I can devote more time to it. And we're like, oh, cool. So we're gonna have some for this year. So don't be too bummed about it. Unless Cut 4 continues ripping off our designs, and then I guess we don't know what we're going to do.
Yes. Thanks, Cut 4.
Whatever. All right. That'll do it. He's Anthony. I'm Tyler.
Beware of prospect fetishism, everybody. Just because the Padres have a lot of good prospects does not mean they're all going to hit.
But all of the Rockies prospects are going to be great.
100%. Yes.
It's foolproof.
Yes.
all right. That's it. We'll talk to you next time. Probably a couple weeks. Love you. Bye.